Karate is an interesting thing. We come from a society that believes that having more makes you somehow better than everyone else. If you compare yourself to other people, it's the volume of what you have as opposed to the depth and the quality of what you have. And karate, and especially kata, can be like that. It's not the number of kata you have, it's how well you understand what you do.
Kia ora, welcome to the Invisible Sensei podcast. This is a podcast about my experiences as a martial artist, as a student, as a teacher, as someone who from time to time has stubbed their toes on the problems of the world and kind of gone, what am I doing this for? Please take time to check out the link in the description. It will take you to our YouTube channel and also to our profiles on social media, which you're most welcome to check out and contact us on. We also have a wonderful merch shop where you can grab cups and a couple of other things if you're wanting to support the podcast, or if you're wanting to support it more directly, we have a link that you can do that also. Either way, enjoy the podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in, and keep training, keep smiling, keep enjoying, and most importantly, keep developing. So right off the top, I just want to take a moment to just acknowledge a friend of mine who's had the dreaded COVID virus. That's right, James Newman, who's been on the podcast and is a huge supporter of not just my podcast, but a number of them, and we really appreciate his support. I hope you're getting better, James. No, you are. Mr. Super Fit Terminator Warrior. So best wishes, my friend. Kata, as I said, is a very interesting subject of study. And I don't really want to kind of get into some big drawn out debate about this kata and that kata or this style and that style. I guess I want to talk about some things that I've noticed with my personal students in my own dojo. And I'm very lucky in that I have some really amazing martial artists in my dojo that I didn't train. Some of them I did, quite a few of them. But for some reason they choose to come and share their incredible gifts with the students in the dojo. So we all are at different places in the same style, but perhaps having slightly different teachers and slightly different experiences. And what I'm noticing with students who are just training in their, hunger to learn as much as they can, as quick as they can, there are a few people who are learning as many kata as they can. So they're learning kata either from students who kind of know it, or they're learning kata from YouTube and this and that. And I think it's the intent is to try and get ahead of the curve. The problem with getting ahead of the curve is that it's like having a library of books that you're unable to read, or they're written in a language that you don't yet understand. And I think kata is a lot like that. So when we go out and we just accrue kata for the sake of having kata, and we're not at a place where we can sort of, for want of a better word, speak the language of bunkai, or really look in a critical analysis sense of the word look at what we're doing and kind of make it relevant. And if we sort of go off half-cocked trying to learn as much as we can, I think it can actually put people on the back foot. And that's where you don't want to be. In my dojo, I quite often say to my students when I'm feeling grandiose, I can teach you the right way, or I can teach you the quick way. The way that I teach karate is not the way that I learnt karate, to be totally honest. And I do lots of things that I wish that I had the opportunity to learn when I was coming from my formative years. Now, there is a famous author in financial circles called Robert Kiyosaki. Now, I've never read any of his books, but I am familiar with the concept of rich man, poor man, or this thing that he has termed the poor man's mentality to money. And I think for many years I had a poor person's, this poor man's attitude towards karate, in that I didn't really care who was teaching me as long as I was learning. And sometimes when you adopt that philosophy, you have to make certain, shall we say, allowances for personality types. And you have to kind of sift through the bullshit, to be totally honest. Now, for me, I think that I was just so grateful that anyone would teach me, and that it was a very difficult martial art to learn, that I overlooked certain foibles in teachers and instructors. And a lot of times I ended up paying a price later on for that. And other people did too. I don't want to get into details, but suffice it to say, I am glad that I teach what I teach the way that I teach. Then there's always that thing that goes on the back of your mind if you're an instructor as well, because there is a financial consideration. My students pay fees, which is an interesting thing for me, because in the back of my mind when I'm teaching them, I'm going, right, these people have committed time and money to be learning this. Should I be progressing them as fast as I can? And I'm a big believer, personally, that you can't pick the fruit until it's ripe. It just doesn't work. As much as I might want someone to be a master of kata and karate and kumite and all those sort of things, they're not. And I think it's really important to allow people to build, to fashion, to craft their practice brick by brick, moment by moment, second by second. And there's this huge rush, especially for us in the West. We want to build as quickly as we can and accumulate as much as we can. But I'm a big believer that less is more, especially in karate. I think that I would rather someone did the first kihon kata and knew it to the atomic level and practiced hard and understood the bunkai and where the power should be and how, what muscles you're recruiting and proper breath and all that sort of stuff, as opposed to being able to kind of walk through a kata. I hate when people say, oh, I kind of know it. You either know a kata or you don't know a kata. It's a pet peeve. So I think that for me, in the last few years, I've learnt, in the last 10 years, I've learnt 4 or 5 kata from different styles. Not so I could teach them, just because they're kata that, I don't know, I've always wanted to learn. You know, for me, it is weird to practice kata from other styles, particularly styles like Shotokan or Shurundu or Wichiru and those sort of things, because I'm very much a Goju-ryu practitioner. So I bring Goju-ryu sensibilities to those kata, which is probably not always a good thing, but it's the only thing that I've got. But for me, it's a study in understanding and trying to embrace the various elements of these different kata. And it is hard. It is extremely hard, because I want to be fast and I want to be strong and I want to look cool and I want my gi to snap when I do the techniques. Hey, kia ora guys, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Just wanted to take a quick break to share with you a project that I've got going on that I'd love to have you involved in if you can. So for the last, I don't know, 150, so I guess most of my life, I've been practicing Māori weaponry, traditional Māori weaponry, in particular, Mo Taiaha and Mo Patu. Now, what are those things? Well, if you want to find out, I have an AMA session, which is happening on Sunday, the 3rd of July at 10 a.m. New Zealand time. And I'm going to be talking about indigenous Māori weaponry. I'm also going to be doing a little bit of a demonstration and taking questions and generally having a discussion. If you're keen, please holler and I will put a link to be a part of this in the description. Anyway, hope you're good. Enough yabba from me. Let's get back to the podcast. And it's funny because I think when I wanted to learn those kata, it was all about the visuals. I liked the way they looked. There was something that appealed to me about them. But as I'm taking on these different kata, I guess it's helping me also understand the kata that I do. And certain students come to me and they say, oh, like I feel like my geksai, they itch is not strong enough. I'm just not getting it. And I'm saying, welcome to the world of martial arts. I don't know anyone who has lasted a lengthy period of time in the martial arts who's ever gone, oh, I killed it. I have mastered it. That is the best guard pass ever. I passed that guard and they should bring wreaths at the passing of the guard because I am amazing. That is the most incredible spinning hook kick you've ever seen. It works 100% of the time. That is the best kata I've ever done. You will never see a Shisoshin better than that. And in a weird kind of way, I envy people who are starting because those small gains in the early days, they mean so much. I think as you begin to progress and you understand more about what it is you're doing, and I don't mean this in an arrogant kind of a way, I think that you start to realize that it's a long road. And I think some people kind of get discouraged at that. And I can certainly understand that. I myself have been discouraged many times. But I would say to you, focus on the depth of what you know as opposed to the breadth of what you know. I think that those things don't necessarily go together, or sometimes they can, and, you know, for me, more power to you if that's your case. I know for me, I need to take my time to learn things very, very slowly to pick them up. And of course, you have those kids and those students in the dojo that are absolute naturals, and you've got to balance your approach with them, because you know that if you get too excited and you give them too much and they pick it up, then they haven't struggled, and they haven't earned it in a weird kind of a way. If you pick up the technique really easily, I'm jealous of you for a start. But I think also you run the risk of not valuing the struggle. And I think the struggle is where we learn the most. So when my students talk to me about, I want to learn karate, I want to learn this kata or that kata or this weapon or that technique or whatever, then for me, I'm always about, and this is it's a funny thing because my original sensei would say this to me. He would say, right, show me your kata. Show me your first kata. And I think sometimes I can feel my students getting a little bit, pissed off. And some of my junior students, you know, the kids, you know, they roll their eyes. But I'm hoping that this is a particular seed, that when I plant it, will bear fruit. It doesn't matter whether or not you are in a situation where you're getting paid to teach whatever martial art you're doing. And I say that it's not, I don't say that it's not important that you're getting paid or that there's money being exchanged. I think that for me, I would hope that you are teaching what common sense, your ability to critically analyze and look at each student dictates you teach, as opposed to a cookie cutter method. Almost said method. My goodness, I need to get some elocution lessons. Karate and the martial arts are a long-term thing. They're not something you pick up. Well, they are something you can pick up and do for a while, and I've certainly had students that have done it for a while and then got what they've needed to out of the experience and moved on. But for me, I like the journey. I like the struggle. For instance, at the moment, I'm struggling with a couple of injuries. I'm not feeling 100%. I've had the flu and blah, 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 but all those first world problems. But what I got to do is I got to go back to the drawing board, practice my kihon, stretch, think, get some sweat on, and do my best. That's all I can do. I don't think I'm ever going to get to a point where I'm walking away from a kata or a technique and go, man, I nailed that. I think it's a question of walking away from it going, I did my best and I felt satisfied with my effort. I don't know if there's anyone, maybe you know someone, who masters the technique every time they do it. But this is martial arts. This is kind of the study that we've chosen. And all we can do is our best. And at worst, we come away learning something about ourselves. And at best, we come away happier, brighter, more energetic, and ready to get back in there and learn some more.